Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Every other time we do the rundown, let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Allegations. There is a pamphlet, an anonymous letter.
Pamphlet.
What are we going to call this, man?
The penny pamphlet.
Now, that's good. The penny pamphlet, bro. Highlight.
Yep, everybody got it.
Yeah, so what's
not
charged...
Not sure if you've seen this yet.
Right, and everybody has this letter, bro.
Have you sent it to Brad? Brad, do you have the letter?
Brad, have you seen the letter?
We need to make sure Brad has seen the letter.
I saw the letter,
You got your own personal copy if you'd like.
Thank you.
Bro, here's the best part, right? Like, look, if you, I'm just going to point this out.
Yeah.
Look at everybody, every Memphis media member's Twitter
DMs.
Account. No, they're DMs. Their Twitter account. Okay. They all tweet this morning and last night. I'm not even BSing. I have obtained a copy of the letter.
It's a fact.
All right. Munz tweeted it. Parth tweeted it. Gaston tweeted it. Did anybody not tweet it that's obtained the copy of the letter?
I didn't tweet it for
you
the
need to announce that you've obtained a copy of the letter, damn it, or otherwise you didn't have it. All right?
That's right.
So the penny pamphlet, as you can hear, you're never going to be president now. The allegations.
Why did Memphis have to acknowledge its existence?
Put what we had aside. I'm standing at her side. You can never be
I thought you were going to start singing or something.
That's what Penny's saying. Y'all never going to be satisfied. One tournament win ain't enough for y'all.
He got folks in there conspiring against him. It sounds never going to make the Sweet 16 now.
This makes me want to go to the to Broadway, man, and see the show again. Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The Hamilton is so good.
It's fantastic.
You know, it almost, it's just like, man, it's so good. And the Orpheum was...
One less thing to worry about.
Hey, it's got might. He might. I don't know. But look, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, $30,000 payment allegations. $30,000 payment allegation to DeAndre Williams. Alleges arrangements for an apartment and a $60,000 payment to Emmanuel Acott. Alleges academic counselor and her sister were appointed to the academic assignments for Malcolm Dandridge and 3 other players. Now, the difference between the Reynolds pamphlet and the Penny pamphlet is that Alexander Hamilton, in fact, acknowledged he did those things.
Yeah, he wrote it.
He wrote it. He said, I did this. I cut the checks. Okay?
His wife didn't like it.
Yeah, his wife didn't like it, but he did.
He had to get it off his heart.
Right. To this point, we do not have a written admission from Penny Hardaway about these allegations. So we do want to...
We do have an acknowledgement of their existence from the U of M.
That's right. We do have that. We do have the acknowledgement and that they have been turned over. These documents have been turned over to the University of Memphis.
Pat 40 in the NCAA.
Now, part of me, I don't know how you feel about this, part of me feels, the person wasn't even willing to put their name on the allegations.
It's called anonymous.
You know, so that automatically kind of, you know, now we do know about Deep Throat with the Watergate scandal. You know, he did not want to put his name on it. But that's a presidential, impeachment. I mean, right. that's a global level security threat.
I've noticed that you give anonymity quite a bit when you're talking to some of your college basketball coaching friends.
That is true.
But you do it with a specific purpose.
That's right.
That they can then talk more openly and honestly.
That is fair.
There is a point there.
That is
though.
Fair.
There's a point there in why you do it.
Yeah.
Some newspapers have decided long time, hey, we're not going to do that. But you've seen the majority of them go that way now and give some of those sources. And now I think you got to be careful.
Right.
Because if you're just talking about a guy with a personal axe to grind, you're just letting him go off with it behind the guise of anonymity. That's not responsible. But I do think you tend to get some better info from time to time, some of these surveys, the way people feel when you do that. If you're, again, if you're doing it with credible folks.
Yes.
I think there's places to you've used it.
Yes. No, that's fair. That's fair. But, I haven't used it when I'm trying to charge somebody with big-time violations.
You don't do that.
Yeah. I think if I was going to do that, I would put my name on it to give it to, if I'm going to be a whistleblower, I'm going to put my name on it, and I'm going to let you know that, hey, this is, you can decide whether or not this is credible.
You're going to think you need to do that to make it more credible.
100%.
Memphis didn't think they needed to do that.
That's the crazy part.
That is the crazy part.
To acknowledge the existence of a, I mean, that could have been written, I mean, honest to God, it's possible. It wasn't, but it could have been written by a fifth grader. It could have been written by a fifth grader at White Station Elementary School that knew a couple players and said, they paid. You know, again, it wasn't. But that's the point, is that you don't know where it came from.
Well, and like I'm saying right there at the top, you're talking about Jermaine and July of 2020. Jermaine was not hired as an assistant until November, close to Thanksgiving of 2020.
Yes.
So you would be saying, I can prove to you, Jermaine was doing Penny's dirty work while he was technically on staff at Troy.
Right.
No, he only did 1 year there. But you could be between jobs, but you were calling him coach. You're saying he's operating under Penny. He's not even at Memphis at that point.
Right. So I don't know how much.
So my point would be that just surprises me, knowing that you would still say, yes, we acknowledge these exist and we've turned them over, as if getting it any credibility whatsoever when you don't have to.
The person who was dispersing this letter, right, was using a pseudonym, an anonymous name, and a burner phone to call the members of the media that he wanted to distribute the letter. And he was saying, this was last week, he was saying, if you don't do it, I'll give it to this person.
Everybody.
If you don't do it, I'll give it to this person.
Looked like he did that, too.
And he did. He went around
at the Matta bus stop.
Because everybody had the same thought,
they
right?
They posted that thing.
A letter... An existence of an anonymous letter is not in and of itself news. It's just not. Even if you have potentially salacious details, even if you have whatever you think you have, specificity, that doesn't in and of itself make it a credible letter that's worth anybody's time.
Right.
You know, I mean, again, it could be drafted by literally anybody. So in and of itself, you know, if you're not willing to put your name on it.
No, it doesn't rise to the level of newsworthiness until there's an acknowledgement of it by one of the parties involved.
Exactly right. So I think that is, that is the first thing. And if you're wondering the pseudonym that the person was using, it was you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them.
Stop.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny.
Yeah. So does anybody here know any Kenny Rogers? Anybody know anybody that might be a fan of Kenny Rogers?
I went to school with a Kenny Rogers.
What's he doing?
But he's a brother.
That don't mean nothing.
He's a brother. He wouldn't do this.
I mean, the person that wrote the damn thing could be a brother. We don't know.
No, it could be. No, I just meant a brother to me.
So we took turns. I mean, we might as well just speculate. You know, who do we think wrote it? Who's at the top of the list?
Oh, Rick Stansberry.
Now, why would Rick Stansberry write it?
This is a legend. A legend. Again, and we probably shouldn't make wild claims. Well, he's been fired.
But he wasn't fired at the time.
Maybe he knew it was coming. The tension was already there.
But he wasn't.
You telling me this can't be somebody that's tied to Rick Stansberry when not a single allegation in this letter names a man who's earned the moniker Slick Rick?
But it predates his time here.
I'm just saying. Does it?
Yeah, he didn't get here till last year.
Bro, it includes the Malco thing.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, well.
Rick was here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just saying it doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention Rick.
Okay.
So, again, if we can be serious about this or we can go play-play, it's probably safer to go play-play.
You want to be a detective.
But I'm just saying there ain't one single allegation about your boy, so don't look at me crazy if I say, well, maybe it's
your
boy that's now out of there, and everybody was saying there's tension with
him. I can't rule out anybody.
Your man, Hitman Hoops, came on here last week and said there was tension between Penny and Stansberry.
Well, let me ask you this. The motive.
Hey, no, damn Kenny Rogers. Let me tell you that. He's closer to home than that.
The motive of the person writing the letter.
Oh, they want Penny gone.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they want Penny gone.
So it's got to be somebody that has an agenda versus Penny Hardaway. And why would they have that? Right? Why would that person have a vendetta?
Well, again, there's plenty of folks that have been either moved on from or... that list is too long. That list is too long. It could just be a personal axe. You don't know. It could be something crazy. But the point is, you know, there's enough in there that we know we have to pay it some attention. But again, there have been anonymous letters sent that have got plenty of fact in them before. But you cannot... They have no credibility whatsoever... Right, when they're anonymous, just sitting there, they're just allegations. They don't get that. It doesn't rise to the level of newsworthiness until you acknowledge, yes, we've taken these and we've turned them over to the NCAA. That's why you don't typically see that sort of acknowledgement by a Memphis or any school in this position.
The interesting player is Emmanuel Aycott, because he was recruited by Memphis before he went to play for Rick Stansberry, who subsequently came back to Memphis to coach. And that's mentioned in the letter as well. Emmanuel Aycott. It does seem like Stansberry.
I think we got Brad playing a little detective over there.
You know, Aycott is a player that, and the allegation is pre-Memphis in the time when Rick Stansberry is Western Kentucky. So what could have happened is that handler or that middleman would tell Rick, yo, man, $25,000 I think was mentioned?
For the allegation for Aycott was 60.
Okay, so they know that pre him coming back to Memphis to coach.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I really haven't given a ton of thought because it could be, like you said, it could be a...
Well, don't be having us do it and you don't plan to play with it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get y'all jammed up.
We can't get jammed up.
Well, we got Brad. Brad fell for it. You'll be hearing no question about it from somebody.
I was speculating.
Yeah, well, listen, I think it's just natural, right? That's what Memphis...
It is about a guy that didn't ever get here. Mm-hmm. And the first one, in terms of the payments to DeAndre, you're naming Jermaine, who wasn't technically here at the time.
Yeah.
So, again, that's why I go back to...
The credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It already looks thin right there at the top a little bit, even if there might be some facts to it.
Because you made some dates up, right?
Yeah, man. Like, you just threw some stuff out there, and you called him coach when he wasn't coach yet.
I could write an anonymous letter right now, and I could make it sound and look real good. I could say, on July 2nd, 2019, I saw a Memphis basketball coach at Schlotzky's do something I have never seen, a dastardly deed.
What did
he do? I don't know what he did, but I'm just saying I could write that out. I could say that he spit right
in someone else's food.
On July 4th, 2020, I saw a Memphis basketball coach not wearing a mask during the peak of COVID. You know, like, whatever.
Definitive dates make things seem honest.
100%. Like, it's just not, you know.
Well,
but
the dates are off enough that you look at something like that just regularly, and you say, man, we don't need to acknowledge this.
Right.
And to John's point, you can still turn it over. You don't, to the NCAA, you want to run it, you know, run it all by the book.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to be different. We don't hope any. You turn it over, but you don't make it as public as you did to then add to the story, allow SI to run with it, give it more legs for another day, Daily Memphian, everything else. You're trying to kill the story if you truly believe in Penny Hardaway being the guy. And that's why I think that part of it is important. Is this, again, a new sort of approach to managing Penny?
Yep, new regime.
We ain't covering for you like we have. We ain't, you know, with other Dr. Rudd days on. Could be. Because, again, John and I would both tell you, I just find it highly hard to believe that this is a boo-boo. This was a dumb PR move where you've agreed and you shouldn't have. And that person's getting hit over the head. Because you learn this first day in PR that you don't add to the story. You don't give it more, you know, give it more gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You finish stories. You end them.
Yeah. Yeah.
By some no commenting thing.
Exactly right.
You obviously have a suspect who's not Stansberry, but you're not willing to come forward.
I don't.
Because Stansberry is just an easy one to go to, just fired, and he's not named in anything.
Exactly.
And a bunch of those other guys are.
Yeah, I don't. It's impossible for me to know, you know, who would, you know, who...
Tubby Smith.
No motivation.
Nah, he couldn't know these things.
Yeah.
Well, hello there.
Now, and I'm trying to think of, like, you know, could it have been, like, is it a GA at some point? Is it, like, I've heard a name. It's not even worth me putting it out there because nobody would know him, and I have no idea if it's true. But, I don't know off the top of my head who.
What about administrative folks that have moved on?
I mean.
Here's the point, because I think it's the only way you answer it. Could be.
I mean, yeah.
Because you don't know. There's folks that have moved out of here, gone on Laird Beach, and it just took a team.
I think it's somebody in the coaching world, though. I do think that is the most likely scenario, that it's a coach of some sort. I don't know that they have worked here or do work here. I mean, I don't know that. But I do
think... Well, they don't have to have worked here. They could be getting the information from someone that works here easy.
I mean, they could, but that seems, you know, less likely.
Does it?
I don't know. It's because it's like because who has been here?
I think that'd be easier to keep covered up than the actual. If you're the person that's letting out some of these details, it's going to be much easier to find who you are.
Well, again, if we're going to say that these,
if you're them,
whoever it is, it's got to be somebody that is up enough, you know, on the things that have happened over the course of multiple years at Memphis, right? Because it starts in 2020 and it goes all the way up till the academic investigation.
Yeah, but I would say sometimes in those cases, hearsay is what gets you to a point where you're saying JJ did this in July. Well, JJ ain't here till November of that year. You see what I'm saying? Because you've heard that through someone else about that time. You know, how long do you have to be over there before you start hearing? Well, Memphis, you know, Memphis was paying DeAndre Williams; they were taking care of that. And you to that point, you don't have your dates right because you heard that. I'm just saying you can't rule that out. I don't think it necessarily has to be somebody that's necessarily tied. Or on the inside. It could be someone that's very close to someone on the inside.
Yes, yes, exactly right. So, look, I don't know if we'll ever know the identity.
I don't like the way you sent me and Brad out there, but you didn't have a submission there.
Well, yeah, no, Brad's definitely going to have to lawyer up. There's no question about that.
I was speculating just because of this
Odyssey
letter.
Odyssey has good lawyers, yeah. I think we have at least one or two.
I will say, you guys open up real quick on this. I even get these, and I'm not a reporter, these weirdos who send this, hey, you should have this, and there are these random leads on and documents on information. I don't think listeners know that happens all the time. It happens all the time.
You ball up, throw it in the trash.
Yeah, like it's, oh, what is this? Ignore, you know, because you can't. You're not legally supposed to put this stuff out there unless it's, you know. But you know, Memphis wanted this out there. Memphis is working differently now, y'all.
But I just think like you have to put yourself you have to look at this as a business,
maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Like when you're in a firestorm, like. For you, let's just use an example. Like, let's say something happens with the radio station.
Sure.
Let's say that somebody gets arrested.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Let's say that the Memphis Flyer, the Daily Memphian, or the CA, or whoever reaches out to you, and they say, hey, we heard blah blah blah. You're not gonna say
no comment.
You're not gonna say, oh yes, we are aware of the arrest, and we have actually turned over additional documentation.
That's right.
To the authorities.
I would never do that.
Even if you did. You would not want to do that publicly until you knew for a fact how this was going to play out.
That's a fact.
Or unless, you know, maybe you're disgruntled with that employee and you wanted them out anyway.
No.
You know?
It doesn't matter because either way you're screwed if you comment on that legally.
What you might say is like, you know, so for something public like that, you know, it's just public. So you have to say you're aware of it. So it's not a great example, but you get what I mean. If you want to withhold things, you withhold things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
If you're motivated.
But they got a new AD, and they're working differently. That's what I think.
I just think, like, you can work differently and be above board behind the scenes without causing a problem for your coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I think, so there's one of two things going on here. Either Ed Scott and the administration now at Memphis, and the presidential administration, because as you point out, this was not an athletic department spokesperson. This was a university spokesperson.
Correct.
Either they don't care about creating a problem for Penny Hardaway.
Yes.
Right? They don't care about that. Or they wanted to.
They care. You put that out there because you want to put it out there and you don't care. I mean,
there's only two options.
You said that on my scenario. You said if you wanted an employee gone, which I don't.
Yeah.
Because I have relationships with everyone here, our team. If you want a new relationship, in this case, you may go ahead and not care if that's out there.
There's only two options when it comes to the way they handled that. Yeah. I mean, because again, you could say we don't comment on nameless base. You know, you don't even have to say baseless. We don't comment on anonymous allegations. Mm.
Somebody was pointing out to me that the difference is the person that's quoted in the story is acknowledging it is Michelle Earhart. Are y'all familiar with her?
No.
She's a 22-year communications veteran of FedEx, was brought over, it looks like, this year, 2024. Again, she works for the communications of Memphis, not the athletic department. But she's been over there at FedEx for 22 years. She knows how to kill a story. You know, I mean, my point would be she knows how to not, you know, give, you know, to John's point, you don't make anything more difficult than they need to be. You can have done everything you need to do, turn this over, and still didn't need to say to Pat Fortier and anybody, yes, we've received this and we turn it over to the NCAA. What you typically say, and I'm sure she did for FedEx for years, is we don't comment on things like that.
Yeah.
We don't comment on anonymous allegations.
If we did that, so, you know, we'd be here all day.
Right.
So,
and she's been, yes, she, as she points out, she's been with a Fortune 500 company for the past two decades. She knows how to shut a story down.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't some dumb move by a newbie over in the communications department. Again, this is a 22-year FedEx vet, communications vet. So that'd be my word to Penny. Like, bro, you think your issue is with a fellow assistants or, you know, with assistant coaches or, you know, we have the reported beef between you and Stansberry. Brother, somebody doesn't have your back up in that administration building. Clearly.
Yep.
Because they made it more difficult for you.
Yep.
When you got the Pat Forties able to go out there now, then the other voices go read that, like Gary, and say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm out on Penny. I don't believe anymore. That's issues you don't need right now when you're trying to battle your way out. You got a national, again, voice now. He's joining up in the line of folks that don't believe in Penny Hardaway anymore.
Yep.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're Memphis, that's one-on-one to kill that. But clearly, you know, Penny maybe got some enemies or some people that are about done with it, you know, across the tracks over there.
Can I ask you both an honest question? Is Penny going to get through this? I mean, let's go ahead and jump a step here. Because when the Gary thing really, I mean, I listened to him for several years on this subject in this studio, and it's like, this feels weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I mean, it's impossible for me to answer. Unless something else, you know, unless there's evidence, I mean, this does not change anything. And I think that, again, that's the biggest take for me, is that this is not a university decision in terms of that response that is made by, you know, a fourth, fifth level employee. That's a higher up. Hey, how are we going to reply to this? What are we going to say? And they made the decision. Like I said, they either don't care about creating a problem for Penny Hardaway in that program right now, and you could deduce why that would be, or they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, this could go all the way up to the president. It could go up to Bill Hargrave, just because, again, Bill Hargrave is Michelle Earhart's boss. Okay, again, this is not your AD Ed Scott saying, yes, let's tell them that we're this is the University of
Memphis.
That
didn't come, for example, from Kirk Downs or
on Earhart's hiring. That it was Hargrave commenting on her and what she brings to the table.
There you have it.
Okay, the person that acknowledged this.
There you have
it. And so this may very well be a president who's saying, we're not going to do this the way that the previous president did it. The previous president that brought in Penny Hardaway. Remember that, Dr. Rudd.
Right.
And again, Penny, again, only he's answering to the president. You know, the ADs have no power because this president hired him. And this could very well be Bill Hargrave, who, again, is, you know, that's Michelle Earhart's boss.
Yep.
And Michelle Earhart is the one acknowledging
I get it.
That we've turned this over.
Yeah.
And so this may not be an athletic department thing. This is a presidential thing, and a president saying, you know, we ain't going to do this the way we've done it with you.
Yep. So look.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's a strange time, but the Penny pamphlet has been turned over to the NCAA, and we'll see where the story goes from here.
Next story.
This story also in the weird category to me. It also comes from the University of Memphis. Both Jonah Dillon, I think, over at the Commercial Appeal, and Tim Buckley over at the Daily Memphian have written about it. I'll try to get you the nuts and bolts, but Memphis is expected to lose about $750,000 from both. I'm trying to kind of put both stories together here, grab the best parts from both. But Memphis is about to lose $750,000 in ticket revenue this football season because of the renovations at Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium, which is understandable. You understand that when you take about, 25,000 fewer seats than you had, and now your capacity is, about 32,000? I think the announced crowd this past Saturday against North Alabama was 25,849. How we know that was the announced. All of that said, it was the walk-up crowd is where they're really struggling. And Jeff has used some of the numbers to point out maybe this season wasn't as highly anticipated as we thought, at least from a ticket-buying standpoint. If you look at it, the department is projecting a loss of 3,518 season tickets, which equates to $764,620 in lost revenue. There's also a loss of 144 parking spots, which is another $43,000 in revenue. The problem is it was projected to be, by Laird Veach and the previous team, $900,000 in revenue from single-game tickets. And according to that data, they only made $43,141 off that first game and are going to come up way short of that. And so now they're trying to figure out, okay, other forms of revenue streams. How are we going to get these numbers up? As Ed Scott pointed out, and he was making this presentation to the board, he answers to his issue right now is single game tickets. They are not doing well in that department. And I mean, you could argue with just 10,000 season tickets sold, that could be better as well. But right now, it's the season ticket allotment, or whether not the allotment, but where they're really struggling in terms of what they estimated it would be coming into this year with everything lined up the way it has, and then where it is after game one. And so, listen, I mean, not a shock, clearly, that Memphis is losing money on football right now from a ticket standpoint with the stadium in the shape that it's in. I think what's weird about this story to me is how off the projections were from Laird Veach and what they thought was going to be the look, and what Ed Scott is inheriting in terms of coming in here and having to get a grip on now.
Yep.
Seems like it was a pretty stark realization that we're way off here in terms of where we need to be from a football ticket standpoint.
Exactly right. Yeah, I was disturbed. I was disturbed by the numbers.
I mean, Jeff, I guess, is in many ways has been right that maybe it's not as anticipated as we thought, or maybe it's more wait and see, or maybe you're right. Maybe it was, I don't want to go to that stadium if it's going to have all those issues, or part of it's, man, you know what, there's not a game on there that really excites me. It's just that combination of factors is clearly, you know, not led to a ramp up in season tickets. Actually, it's led to a lot less than where they thought they would be.
Right? Yeah, I mean,
and maybe dangerously so.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, because I'll say this. Part of me is Silverfield gets criticized. He's not this, rah-rah guy, right? Like he's not.
Right, but we only care. We care about that more when he's not winning.
But let's say he was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he was rah-rah. Okay, what does that mean? What made Mike Norvell so rah-rah? He would come on the radio a couple times, when he asked, okay, and he would run up the score. He would run up the score. I mean, that's not that different. I mean, it really isn't. I think people are just depressed. That's what I think. I think people are just depressed that this league sucks, this home schedule sucks. Memphis isn't ranked.
We're closing in on that.
They are. I mean, I would have never thought that season tickets would go down. I would have never predicted that. But let's also call it what it is too.
Down 30%. Yep.
I mean, that's a huge. Like the most.
Oh, it is. Yes.
The most anticipated season in Memphis football history. Season tickets go down 30%. I mean, whoa.
That's not good.
And what I would say is that season last year was not a crowning achievement until the absolute end when they beat Iowa State. Had they not beaten Iowa State, we'd have a very different view of the entire thing, because they didn't win any big game last year other than that one. They lost all the opportunity. They lost to Tulane. They lost to SMU. They almost lost to Navy at home. I mean, you know, I think that's just part of it. It's all part of this big, depressing, like, you know, lack of excitement, even though, yeah, like, you could get there by week four or week five. Memphis football, as long as I can remember, has just always been like that. It is always just, I'll believe it when I see it and not a day before. Mm. It's just how it is, you know? I mean, it's hard to generate excitement for it. Then you add in the damn renovations. You know, people don't want to get out there and brave that. You know, it's just that's the hard part about it, man, is the home schedule is absolute trash. I mean, there's not a single game to get excited about on this home schedule. I mean, you tell me. I mean, maybe North Texas, bro. I don't know. It's awful.
I mean, we talked about it. It's going to be senior day for me.
So it's
as we go out to salute Seth.
It's the combination of all those things, I think. I still would not have expected it to result in a 30% drop.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what our man Tim Buckley.
Yeah, it just kind of makes you wonder, like, what really is the ceiling for Memphis football? Because,
well, just wait. I mean, it'll enrollment will go up and excitement level will go up once we've made the CFP, John. Like I said, we just got to do it first.
I know, but like, I mean, that's I do believe that. I mean, because if it doesn't, my God. but if Memphis makes the college football playoff, yes, they should have at least, what, 15,000 next year? I mean, but they are losing Seth, so it is going to be a little bit of a drop-off. But I do think it's a lagging indicator.
It doesn't have to be a drop-off, does it? We got the brother. Antoine.
Yeah, I mean, it's unlikely he's the guy as a freshman, though, isn't it?
Four-star? That's why he came here.
I mean,
because he's starting off the bat.
Who's the?
And he wasn't going to do that at Florida.
Ain't nobody playing it for a good team right now as a freshman.
Who's your guy that beat out Cade? I remember the guy whose job
Harris didn't win
the job. I remember
Boyd
his name
Harris.
More than I remember Boyd Harris's name. You're telling me we can't beat out Boyd Harris next year?
I don't even. Is Cade Cunningham on the roster? Is he getting ready for Pistons training camp?
I think he's getting ready for camp.
Yeah, I don't think
he
he's
can't
with
be
us
here any longer.
Yeah, he was too focused on bat. He had to pick one. Like
it's
Travis,
it's a big year for him.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was a little shocked, to be honest, when I read that and saw the number of 10,000.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, again, going back to our point, we got it. We're bringing Antoine here to play off the top, bro.
I mean, ideally,
they got a big arm.
But Ryan
did it with Seth. You know he's going to do it with this 4-star. Seth wasn't a 4-star.
Yeah, but that was a different time, though. You know, you didn't have playoff spots to vie for. If he earns it, then he can.
Well, I mean, now, out to portal, and
yeah,
if there's one-year guy to get that can beat him out, I'm not against that. But you can kind of push him to a point these days where your 4-star that you just battled so hard for, you battled and beat out for Florida, you go in and get a guy, and now what's your position with him? Oh, you don't believe in me. I'm getting out of here. I'm transferring. So you got to be careful with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line there. But, I mean, yeah, 10,000 is like, that'd be a good basketball number, you know? If you told me that Memphis basketball had 10,000 CT, like, we're back, you know?
Well, it's a third. It's a third of what's available right now, is it not?
I mean, yeah, but that's not
there. And then I'm assuming some of those season tickets were displaced, right? And so I wouldn't, you know, you're moving your season.
Well, how do we have that number?
I don't know. I don't have
that. That'd be nice to know.
If it is in there, I mean,
that'd be nice to know. If 30% of season ticket seats were displaced.
Well, now you know darn well some of it's a drop off. I'm just saying that can explain some of it with 25,000 fewer seats.
Mm-hmm.
You've been displaced. You say, well, I'm not going to pay for season tickets. And I'm in a spot across the damn stadium. You know what I'm saying? And so those didn't renew, and maybe they can come back, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, you're not one of them, that's for
what
sure.
What is it, 32,000 is what it seats right now.
Yeah,
so it's a
that's temporary,
pool.
Though. That's temporary. That's not the way it's going to be. I mean, they're going to have to get that number up. They're going to have that. Memphis should have 20,000 season tickets every single
year.
Well,
your boy Laird was lying about these projections. He didn't go out there and sell some more.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting
They were way off according to what they thought they were going to get.
Some of y'all need to hear this. Going to a Memphis football game is a blast. It's a lot of fun. It is just
I did it last year against SMU, and it was not fun.
Well, they lost. You picked the wrong
game. Well, I'm just saying. Now, they have an issue, and you can address this because you would know what it was like this past week. Apparently, and the Gate 3 issue, I think, was part of like, everybody's outside right before the game starts.
Oh, yeah, they're going to show up late.
No, I'm saying they're at Tiger Lane. Like, they're enjoying that experience up until kickoff. And so the pre-kickoff experience was at least against SMU last year for me, and it was not great. It wasn't hype at all because everybody's still outside. You understand what I'm saying? They're not coming in until the very end.
Right.
I don't know how you can get them in the stadium sooner, but But I'm talking about, forget losing the game. I'm talking about the pregame atmosphere was dead when Ryan and them ran out there.
Yeah.
Was this week better?
I wasn't there for the beginning.
The softball coach ran out. You didn't see her?
I said, hey, win 9 games. That's an improvement.
So you didn't go in until kickoff, basically.
I was like, well, yeah, we were trying to find
that. I think that's apparently what a lot of people do.
But that ain't got nothing to do with the damn
tea in China.
Well,
it takes away from the scene. It takes away from the pregame, the scene inside.
Look, it's different.
Especially pregame.
Everybody's in their seats for this Inner Sandman at Virginia Tech, right?
Yes.
So we got to create.
You got a reason. You have a song. You got a reason to get in there. Exactly.
No, look, releasing the Tigers is not exactly
it's not getting it right. It didn't get it for you. The softball coach did it, I believe.
I mean, I'm not sure. Right.
You don't even know her name.
I don't know her name. I just know the last one lost like 700 games in 3 years.
So you're saying can't be worse?
Cannot. I mean, impossible. But yeah, like I don't know what the tradition would be. Like maybe, you know, Jerry Lawler rock bottom somebody through like a. Dude,
now we can come up with something better than that. That man has done enough.
Okay, fine, but somebody like that, you know, rock bottom somebody or pile drive somebody, you know, the start there, boom, you know, and then everybody runs out. Here we go, you know, you got to do something, man, because you know the Tigers has run. I mean, we don't even have a live mascot anymore. That's gone, you know, so he don't even get to ride around in the damn cart.
We don't have a Memphis type Pat McAfee. That gets the crowd going, can really rile us.
I mean, I really thought I showed that in the Texas A&M West Virginia.
Clearly, you did not.
No, I did, bro. I did. They loved me, man.
It was discontinued.
Let me hear you, West Virginia!
This is a fake rock. Who the hell is this?
Yeah, that's what I did, bro.
You and I did
the pep rally for the Liberty Bowl, right? Was it Memphis, Iowa State?
They tried to bring me on and make it better.
You guys were hitting the streets marketing this radio station in y'all's show.
That was there's no question.
Yeah, I was going to country music shows and everything.
You were busting your butts.
I was all in early.
All
the stations.
And then, Jason got comfortable. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've done that before. And, you know, for a fee, we'll probably be willing to do it again. But it would certainly require that these days. You know, it's just like Uber, right? When Uber launched, it was super cheap. Okay, and then you got used to using it, and then they said, three times the price now, sucker. You know, that's the way it goes, but it's too late because you started using the product and you liked it. So that's the way it goes. Yesterday's price is not today's price. That is American economics. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The DJ at the game on, like I said, I don't know who it was. It was like a...
DJ Mike T?
No, it was a white dude. It was a white dude. He was doing a little too much.
Are you sure? Is that our guy?
I'd been drinking, but I don't think I would get it wrong.
It doesn't help that Devin Steele's now in Atlanta. I'll be honest with you, because
Devin was good.
Devin is the friggin' was on it.
Devin added the to the experience. There's no question about it.
You guys good though.
But. If it was Mike T, I really apologize, but I don't think it was. I think it was like DJ Tucker or Tanner. You know, something like that. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure when they showed that guy, he was he looked like me.
I'm sure he was killing it, man.
I'm sure he was.
I think maybe I'm
just getting too old.
I think that could very well be what it
is. I need some, you know, Journey. That's what I need. You know, I don't want anything other than Journey at this point in my life. But yeah, I hope we can get that number up. And I don't know what plans you have to do that. But I would just say that going to a Memphis football game is a lot of fun. Clearly some of y'all have forgotten that because the season single game tickets and walk-ups, they're hurting on, right? So
well, they need you versus Troy this week as well.
Go to a game, take the time, take the family. I mean, it's still a super cheap, super affordable, you know, thing to do. And it's just fun. It is. I've gone to multiple Memphis football games as a fan the last few years. And there's never been a game where I'm like, I just wish I didn't come. You know, I went to the Boise State game last year. I went to the Navy game last year. I went to the Tulane game, and I had fun every single time. My family came with me to the Boise State game, and I even stayed after they left is how much fun I was having at that damn thing.
Well, I know the Boise State chaplain was making it so much fun for you.
That is true. I had I had some people in the stands. But I'm just saying, there's never been a time where I haven't had a good one at a Memphis football game.
Man, my time, me and Lester was smoking his cools and being like, damn, we can't win.
Because you picked the wrong games.
I went to the SMU game. It was the time for him to finally win a big one.
I know, that's the problem.
And that was the point. I wasn't just going to be on here saying, oh, y'all need to go support. No, I'm going to go support.
That's the problem.
And do my part. And they let us down, bro.
If you're going to pick a game to go to, don't pick the one they're most likely to lose, bro. Go to the ones where they're 18
and a half.
Don't
pick the best opponent. Actually,
yes.
Go to the dog show.
Go to the game
go
on Saturday.
Go to the Rice game.
It's a guarantee they win. It's a guarantee they win. It's just like anything else. It's like Memphis basketball, you know? Maybe a little different because Memphis basketball is kind of always live. But, you know, if you're going to a game where Memphis ball is an 8.5-point dog and you mad because they lost the game, that's on you, bro. That's your fault. I'm going to say it. It's on you, man.
Bro, I bought those tickets.
You bought them.
You talking about it's on me.
It is on you.
I didn't even get the free ones that what was my Philly kicker was giving out.
Jake Elliott?
And folks right there sitting beside me had. I did my part. You're talking about it was my fault?
It was your fault.
For paying for that?
No, for expecting them to win.
No, I need better product.
For expecting them to win.
That dog defense last year.
They were 8.5.
Was one stop.
First of all, they covered that.
Got Coon coming up in here. Next, they blaming offense. I couldn't believe it.
They're covering the number, too. They covered the number against SMU in that one. So
I've never been more frustrated at a Tigers football game than I was that day.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to pick one game to go to, don't pick the one where Memphis is a touchdown plus underdog, and then you're going to be mad because they don't win. Go to the one where, you know, I mean, Tulane was like that, right? Memphis was a 5-point dog, and they ended up choking it away, and you're like mad. You're like, damn, well, they were a 5-point underdog. They're 18.5-point favorites against Troy. They're going to squash that. They're going to squash that team. I mean, that's just what they're going to do. I mean, that's the 98% chance they're going to do that. So go to that one. I have a lot of Memphis friends that are going to the Tallahassee game at Florida State. I fear they're going to be a little disappointed, and additionally so now because the number has gotten to basically a pick 'em. You know, that's going to be a tough one. MTSU, that's at home, right? That's going to be an absolute job, okay? MTSU sucks. So that's a great one to go to.
Okay.
All right.
You need to be in the ticket office over there. They could use your help.
Hey, I have 18 jobs. What's one more?
Selling MTSU is a great one.
No, I'm just saying what's fun is really winning. That's what's fun. Yeah.
No, I agree. Now I agree with that. You take care of your business. They're going to come out there no matter who the
– I would rather go to a game.
They want to be a part of a winner.
I would rather go to a game, and I've matured to this point. I used to not be this way. I'd rather go to a game where my team is essentially guaranteed a win versus going to a better game where it's a coin flip. I used to say I'm always going to go to the better game where it's a coin flip because it's just a better game. But if I'm going to support a team, I want to go where, like, I'll leave happy guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? I'll leave a happy man if I'm going
no,
to.
No, I'm not
going to
push back on that as a ticket buyer. I want
right.
the Bears to kill the
your
team.
Kids.
I don't want to.
Well, you're going to take your kids to a game that where, you know, Memphis might get killed against Alabama or something or whoever? Or would you rather take them to a game against, you know, UAB where they'll win by 50?
Yeah, to Chris the senior, Andy Miller senior day,
he
was scoring all day.
They won by right. That's fun. That's what.
No, it was, and it was fun.
You know, that's at the end of the day. Good games are fun, but good games are only fun if your team wins at the end of the day. You know.
So you telling me I shouldn't have invested in that team last year?
No, I'm saying
they were never going
to
win.
No, I'm saying that you, as a single game ticket buyer, chose a poor game to attend because you got mad that they lost as an 8.5-point dog. That's why.
Ryan said they had to win the big one.
Well, they did. It was Iowa State. And you didn't go to that one. You didn't go to that one.
I'm talking about a conference big one.
Well.
Win a conference title.
I mean, are you going to go to the UTSA game in San Ann? Can we catch you there?
No.
Can we?
I'm not going to any road games.
Okay. Which one can we count on your attendance for, bro? Is there one on the schedule we can?
I think, again, so long as this season goes the way it's supposed to, you can count on me to go be paying my respects on November 16th to one Seth Hennigan on Senior Day.
For the Battle of Bones.
Yeah, Seth Hennigan on Senior Day. All those guys.
That we should abolish, by the way. Like, that is one of my missions, is that we...
And that was the other reason. You were pressuring me to go because you said you hadn't been to a Tiger football game since Anthony Miller was a senior.
And that's
unacceptable. And you were pressuring me to go.
And that's unacceptable.
And that's part of the reason we picked SMU, because every week coming in here,
right.
You would literally say, hey, man, when you going to go to a game?
Well,
same ish you're doing right now.
Yes.
Which one can we get you committed to? So I picked SMU because we said
10,000 season tickets.
And then you call me.
We're going to lose
for picking it.
We're going to lose $1 million. We're going to lose $1 million because of lack of walk-ups.
Is Rock a senior too? Is he not?
Yes.
Yes. I want to go pay my respects.
I think we should be able
Seth
to.
Seth and Rock.
I think
on
your birthday, November 19th, October 19th, should
you
be
lost
one.
Lost your mind.
What you going to do for your birthday? Faith got something elaborate.
Although that, no, I just told her. I had to remind her it was my birthday. I had to do that today. I think she's already trying
to. You don't
to
want to spend your birthday with Silverfield and the Tigers, man?
But that North Texas quarterback is the AAC player of the week, isn't
it? Yeah, Chandler Rogers.
You know what? I might.
Chandler Morris.
Huh? He put up some numbers.
Yeah, he did. TCU transfer.
No, I won't be there.
No, you will not be there.
Be down somewhere downtown getting taken care of.
People say that, you know, we're haters. I'm trying to get people to go to the game, period, point blank, because it's fun. I endorse it. I think everybody have a good time. But those numbers were definitely traumatic.
That'd be shocking for old Ed.
Because you're investing all this money into this thing, right? You're investing all this money, $250 million, and it's going to end up costing more, we know that, into this stadium. And it's like, are you throwing good money at bad? I mean, I think that is just the existential question with you know, Memphis football here. I don't want to believe that. I don't. Now, I think Memphis football could be better. So there's still room. Like, if Memphis football had been ranked all year and, you know, they won the league and all those things and still it was 10,000, I'd say, okay, this
exactly.
is it. This
exactly.
Is it. This is all it's ever going to be.
The guy hadn't won a conference title yet.
But they also, they have not won at the level that, for example, Mike Norvell was winning at.
Correct.
So, even Justin Puente.
Yeah.
He won a conference title, a share at least. So, let's see what happens when that happens, you know, and then make our judgments. But for now,
no, I'm fine with that.
The onus is on, really, it's on Memphis football and Ryan Silverfield to win at that level. And if they can't
do that. Well, that's how you're really going to. It's not going to be some athletic department giveaway that gets this thing turned around or
first
some
10,000 fans.
It's winning, right? Get the penny pamphlet. Yeah, that's what
and a bobblehead of Kenny Rogers.
And it's winning that can really make a great shift over there in terms of what they got. Yeah. That's on Sylvie, man. Take care of business. Defense look good.
Look, it's
just got to get make sure that run game's all right. We'll be all right.
It's the Troy game. It's first 10. We're going up to 10,000. 10,000 fans get a copy, a laminated copy of the penny pamphlet, a bobblehead of Kenny Rogers, and it's presented by our friends at Cash App. Is that not okay?
Yeah, no, I don't think we want anything to do with Cash App. We'll find out who's using it.
Oh, man. All right, we'll come back. Hey, it's week one of the NFL. Starts tonight. You kidding me? Caleb's Nails. Double chunk chocolate cookie. Fantasy is back. Oh, it's a great time, man. Everything is happening. We'll come back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Know when to walk away and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.